Welcome to the Solomon Show. My name is Solomon Buckley. I am the apostolic leader of the Fresh Wind International Mission Space Incorporated. For more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. Again, for more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. About the body of Christ. And he said a lot of times there's a glass ceiling between the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, and then when it comes to the saints. And the Lord dealt with me and he said there's been a hierarchy, and it wasn't intended. The clergy were not supposed to be the ones lording over us, but actually training us and equipping us for the work of the ministry. And what the Lord kind of rebuked me on, he said, can somebody walk on top of you? I want you to look at that. Foundation is Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The foundation was laid on apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist are all ground level. The house is built, and it's built on Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, right? That means that any of the fivefold giftings, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, the people that are in that particular house or that come up under that anointing should be able to walk literally on top of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, evangelist, and actually glean and draw from that anointing. Right. Are you following me? Yes. Draw from the anointing. What has happened is, we have gotten so accustomed to looking to the man and woman of God, and we come, isn't he preaching, isn't she teaching? But actually, a lot of training is not happening in a lot of churches across this country. It's a lot of preaching and entertainment. And I believe the day is over with. I got people coming to me right now that are not even a part of my ministry saying, I need to be trained on how to pray for people because I've never been taught how to pray for people in a corporate setting. They don't know what they're doing. So today we're going to learn a little bit about ministry time, because ministry time, and the notes are here for you. And then I'm going to actually get into the message. Here are some guidelines to help you as you minister to others on a prayer team. I gave an initiative to Bishop saying that we're going to start having prayer teams. We won't do that every Sunday, but we will do that occasionally. Like if we're having a conference or a convocation, or if there's a need and the Lord has impressed upon us to do a prayer line, we're going to have people that are trained to do that. The reason why I am going through this with everybody so that everybody will know what is required to be on a prayer team. First of all, in order to be on the prayer team, you must be submitted to authority. Submitted to authority. That means the authority of the house, which is Bishop Buckley and the leadership team of this house, okay? Part two, most of the fact is the fact that mostly the people that I have picked or ordained with this house, you know, primarily, are we really know them. You know, we have a real relationship with them. There's not any open doors that are open to the enemy. Does that make sense? Number one, when you are ministering among the ministry lines here, you wear your name badge. We're gonna have name badges for those that says prayer ministry team. I'm working on that now. We will have a basket that says ministry team, and you'll go and pick up your lanyard, and it'll have your name on it and the name of the church. And you're to wear that anytime that you're ministering on these lines, prayer team. Always stand in front of the person that you're ministering to. That means don't be standing behind them, stand in front of them. Smile. Nobody wants to look at a prune. Always ask the person, what do you come for prayer for? Hi, how can I pray for you? Hi, my name is Opal. How can I pray for you? Hi, my name is Solomon. What's your name? How can I pray for you? Always ask permission before you lay hands on someone. Ask their permission. Is it okay if I lay hands on you? Don't just assume that that you can just lay hands on somebody. Does that make sense? Use the ministry triangle, laying on of hands. Only touch. Now, everybody look at my diagram. Everybody remember the song, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes? Only head and shoulder is the only way that you are supposed to touch. Head and shoulder. But you can place your hand lightly, the fingertips on their forehead or on their shoulder. Do not try to push. Do not try to shove. Because as Mike Bickle used to say all the time, the Holy Spirit does not need any hamburger helper. The no-touch zones are between the shoulders and the feet. Those are no-touch zones. Please notice that inappropriate touch is grounds for removal from the ministry team. Please honor anybody that comes to the altar that wishes to be alone. So if somebody comes up and they just say, I just want to be alone, please honor that. Please honor that. The ministry time, the altar ministry time, is not a time to preach, to lecture, or to counsel people. If they need counseling, then they need to make an appointment with Bishop or myself or one of the leaders here in the house for counseling. Partner with another person for safety and accountability. Partner with another person for safety and accountability. If you are praying for somebody and they fall out or slain in the spirit, please, by all means, protect yourself. Many times when I used to do conferences and big conferences, 10, 20,000 people, what I would say, if somebody was getting ready to fall out under the power, this is what I would say, because we would be at the Barter Hall Convention Center where there are those concrete floors. How many know about the concrete floors at the convention center? And I would just say this is one thing that I learned, is I would tell them, I would say, sit. Sit. Just sit, sit, stand. Right when I would say sit, they would just sit on the floor. They were not there, and I learned that even though the Holy Spirit was moving, there would be people that would try to make themselves fall out, and the Spirit of God was not knocking them to the floor. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, ministry line guidelines, spiritual ministry. For those that are going to pray on the prayer lines. Number one, cultivate intimacy with Jesus. Come filled and minister out of the overflow of God's love. Okay? Anytime that you're ministering on the altars, you need to cultivate intimacy with Jesus and come filled with him and minister out of love. All ministry should be out of love, okay? Be aware of the ministry focus. Follow God's lead and flow with the given word that was given in the teaching. So, for instance, if Dr. Pat used to come here all the time, and minister here, Watson, and if she was doing a teaching, she was one of the teaching pillars of this house in the beginning of this house. If she was doing a teaching on deliverance and she invited the ministry team to come down, you're not going to be doing prophesying over people when we're actually doing deliverance on the ministry lines. So flowing with the teaching, if the teaching is on receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people are coming down to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're not going to be praying for somebody's shoulder. You know, you're going to be praying with what the focus of the teaching is. Does that make sense? Amen. Number three, don't force ministry or feel pressured to make something happen. We are asking for the Holy Spirit to encounter the person, not us. Does that make sense? Next page. Focus as an intercessor. Number one, one of your jobs is to focus as an intercessor, to stand between heaven and earth on that person's behalf. Okay? Do not be distracted by activity or by noise in the atmosphere. Number six, use only positive words. The prophetic gifts are to uplift the body of Christ. This is according to Revelation 19:10 that says, for the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you're ministering among these lines here, we ask that you give encouraging words. Encouraging words. No prophecies of life-changing things such as no dates, no mates, no babies, or leaving jobs, or etc. Does that make sense? When praying for people, use the following prayers. Lord, encounter them with your presence. Lord, release more of your presence. Release more healing. Release more of your fire. Release more of your anointing. Release more of your glory. Give him a refreshing from the Lord, etc. Keep your phrases soft and simple, and you don't have to raise your voice. Does that make sense? Also, if the ministry, if the altars are full, as those that may not be on the prayer team, please do not come down and start having conversations while the altar is going on, because that distracts what the Lord is doing. In the congregation, your job is to pray, even though you may not be on the ministry team itself, for you to pray for what's happening, for life-changing atmospheres in among the people that are coming up for prayer. But it's not a time for you to get distracted or for you to distract people that are down at the altar. Does that make sense? So that is your ministry. Okay, so 40 Signs of Witchcraft, Controlling Leaders and Occultic Organizations by Dr. Matthew Stevenson. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, in Amplified, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, recognizing their authority over you. All authority is delegated, okay? All authority is delegated. Delegated from the heavenly realms, and then also delegated in the earth realm by peer to peer. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Peer to peer.
Yes.
That means leaders that function in authority actually see what is in the person that they're ministering to, also seeing what's in the person that they're getting ready to ordain, to set apart for the work of the ministry. That's why it's very serious that a person that is licensed and ordained into ministry, they got to understand the principle of Hebrews 13 and 17. Also, the saints must understand the principle of Hebrews 13 and 17. Obedience, obeying your spiritual leader and submitting to them. Submitting to them, that means accountability, being accountable. You are not an island to yourself, okay? Any church that's an island to themselves, any minister that's an island to themselves, and any saint that's an island to themselves, that is dangerous. That is dangerous. We are all to submit to somebody. Does that make sense? So, out of the fear of the Lord, and you have to ask the Lord, Lord, who am I supposed to be aligned with in this season so that the gifts in me can come forth. Does that make sense? So submit, alignment, alignment, accountability, recognizing their authority over you, okay? You know, when I go to Chuck Pierce and when I go to Linda Heidler, who is one of our apostolic covering for Fresh Wind International, we're not just out there doing our own thing. When I go to Linda Heidler and to Chuck, I trust that what they're going to tell me is something that's going to help me to get to the next place, okay? It's healthy, okay? When I go to Pastor Timmy Hensel from the Four Square Church, I expect that he's going to ask me, how are you doing, okay? How's your tongue going right now, okay? How are you doing with relating with others? You know, are you drinking? Are you smoking? Are you, these are the things that we need to be asking leaders. We need to be asking our leaders, okay, what's going on with you? What's really going on with you? Not, I have a message and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God has used me. I have done 50 revivals. We need to really ask some hard questions. Does that make sense? Okay, Jeremiah 3 and 15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. How can you lead somebody with knowledge and understanding and you think you know it all? You think you have it all. You think you have all the answers. We all need leaders in our lives that can help us. Now, controlling leaders and cult denominations rely upon very heavily on the spirit of witchcraft to bring their followers under the influence and under their work. They have to rely on that power because otherwise they cannot accomplish much. They don't have much power, provision, or resource, so they must rely on witchcraft to complete tasks. Witchcraft is from the soulish realm. And it's a soulish and a spiritual power that brings individuality, logic, conviction, and the spirit of the believer under the control of another. Okay? So some of the things you're going to hear today is going to be front and center. We're going to deal with it. You know, we're going to deal with it. Because some of these things you've seen, some of these things that you have heard, some of these things you have experienced. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension. How many have seen that in the house? In a house before? Dissension. Okay, let's keep going. Factions and envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. One cannot pastor a 21st century church without, in some ways, coming in contact with some form of witchcraft. Now, let me tell you this. We're being prophetic, which means hearing the voice of God, being a prophet. You do not know how many times that I have been hit with witches and warlocks coming to try to attack not only the ministry, but to attack me and to attack the house and to attack my own ministry. I'm telling you, when you start opening up to the prophetic, you better know what you're asking for. Because you're going to get witches and warlocks come from everywhere to try to want to give a word or I have something to say. And they won't submit to the authority of where the house is going. Anytime you cannot submit to authority, you are walking on dangerous grounds of witchcraft and sorcery, okay? Anytime you cannot submit your gift, you are walking in witchcraft and the spirit of error. Does that make sense? At some point, you will come against the spirit of Jezebel, Absalom, and Korah, and others who rely on witchcraft to come against the vision of the house. I remember once we had some leaders that came through here, and they felt like they had the word of the Lord, and they felt like they had the word of the Lord. And every time I would hear them prophesy, I heard mixture, mixture, mixture. I would sit right there, and I heard mixture. There's a spirit of mixture. There's a spirit of mixture, okay? And when I said, Lord, there is some type of spirit in operation here, and it's in these particular leaders. Next thing I knew, there was a spirit of Jezebel. There's a spirit of Absalom that wanted to divide and conquer, okay? Divide and conquer. A person operating under the spirit of witchcraft will often seem like an answer to prayer. Oh, that person answered my prayer because they come in and they can do the children's ministry. Check the tree. That's talking about believe not every spirit, but try, yeah, yeah, to see if it be of God. It's not just for us to quote, it's a reality. I would walk up to somebody. I've walked up to witches and warlocks that have come through here, and I've walked up to them and asked them, what church did you come from? I will. Minister Freeman, no, I'll walk up right up to you. What church you come from? And how long were you there? And who licensed you to preach? Because I can see all over you, all this stuff, and I'll ask you. I'm not afraid. Who licensed you to preach? Who ordained you? There was a lady that came through here once, and she claimed that she was a prophetess. And I told her, I said, who ordained you? She had came from a spiritualist church. Woman had come from a spiritualist church. Didn't know anything about the prophetic. Didn't know anything about deliverance. Matter of fact, she manifested a demon right there in the church, and the people that had came with her didn't even know how to minister to her. One Sunday she received a prophetic word and she ran out of here. She ran out of here. She received a prophetic word. The prophets had prophesied over her and she ran out of here. Okay, those that walk in witchcraft, many will claim to be prophetic. They will seek to join new things or influential things. But still will be operating under the spirit of witchcraft and will seem like an answer to prayer. And there are some prophetic people that truly need deliverance from the spirit of witchcraft because it will turn others against leadership through emotional manipulation. Manipulation. This is how many come undetected. They can be nice, skillful, lovable, but they can seek to turn the sheep against their shepherd and their shepherd's authority. Okay? 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as serious as the sin of divination, fortune telling, and disobedience is as serious as false religion and idolatry because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you as king. Witchcraft is tied to rebellion. Yes. Say, witchcraft is tied to rebellion. Amen. Witchcraft is tied to rebellion.
Witchcraft is tied to rebellion.
So if you have a rebellious spirit, you're operating in witchcraft. Rebellion may or may not always be a negative attitude or disobedience. Rebellion can also simply be a hard posture. They can agree and condescend, but still rebel. Before rebellion becomes an act, it is a posture of the heart. I want to ask you the question, are you checking your heart today?
All right.
How's your heartbeat?
All right.
I can care less that you can preach to thousands of people. But how's your heart? Are you carrying around witchcraft? Are you walking in rebellion?
All right.
Are you so hard that nobody can speak into your life? Are you so hard that nobody can speak into your life? Proverbs 26:2, and I'm going to let you know right now, I have taught this completely to Freshmen International, the group that I have authority as the apostolic leader. Bishop Buckley has cleared me to release this message. He actually wanted me to preach this 3 years ago, and I did not want to do it. And I told him I did not want to do it. And since I've been teaching on this, I have experienced more. Our whole leadership team is saying, why come you didn't teach this to us a long time ago? Okay? Our whole entire leadership team is like, you should have taught this to us a long time. Why did you hold on to this for 3 or 4 years? So I'm telling you, I'm experiencing freedom by just talking about this. Because I've been wanting to talk about it for a long time. Proverbs 26:2 in the Amplified. Like a sparrow in her wandering, like a swallow in her flying. So the curse without cause does not come and align on the undeserving.
All right.
Curses are real.
Yes, they are.
James 3:9-10 says that the tongue has power to bless and to curse. Mm-hmm. If the tongue can be used by God, Satan can and has trapped into the genius of the tongue in order to allow people to use their words against others.
Okay.
If there's a word curse, that's why we're going to get back into teaching on blessing and cursing again. Minister Freeman has a whole curriculum to teach on blessings and cursing. We're going to start pulling this stuff out because you got to know how to combat the enemy. And we're going to teach you how to combat the enemy. Because we're going to start using these tools around here to understand who we are. You have not been sent to Rocket Salvation Church just to learn about a half gospel. This is a full gospel non-denominational church. That means that we cover salvation. We cover the fullness of the gospel. Not just what we want to hear, that we're saved by grace through faith. We're going to get rid of our demons. And if you don't think that you have them, stay around long enough and you'll find there'll be an open door there. So don't point your finger at anybody else. Look at yourself.
Amen.
We're going to get rid of the woe is me syndrome. We're going to get rid of all of these things that has doors and openings, okay? So we're going to understand what blessing and curses are. If the tongue can be used by God, Satan can and has trapped into the genius of the tongue in order to allow people to use their words against others. Witches and warlocks use the tongue because they carry the power to speak a curse over the lives of their victims. Whenever there is a curse, there are certain demonic powers that are obligated to make sure the curse remains and stays intact.
Right.
That's why you don't allow everybody to, you got to test the fruit. That's why we don't allow everybody to have a platform to do stuff, because there are people that are operating in the spirit of Jezebel, in the spirit of Absalom, in those spirits. Am I correct? Am I in the Bible? Or am I in another book somewhere else?
Praise God.
You cannot cast out devils if you don't understand curses. Witchcraft and curses operate together, okay? How do I know if I'm in a witchcraft church? An organization, a denomination, a culture, etc. Notice that anytime your individuality is shunned and causes you to get alienated, blacklisted, or ridiculed, you are in a witchcraft environment and culture.
That's right.
Number one, the leaders demand of the followers what they themselves are unable to do. A godly leader will never require of his or her people what he or she is unwilling to do, submitting when he or she does not submit to a covering. Okay? Is that self-explanatory? I'm not going to tell you to go mow the grass here at the church, and I'm not willing to do it myself. I'm not going to tell you that you need to be delivered from demons, and I'm at every mansion and every house in town.
That's right.
Walking around with demonic spirits. Okay?
Right.
Number two, leaders discourage thinking and individual research. They encourage you to follow blindly. You will not be encouraged to use your own thinking.
That's it.
One area when you're in a witchcraft atmosphere, you can't think for yourself.
Right.
I bind the spirit of confusion in Jesus' name. You will not have authority here in Jesus' name. I'm up teaching.
It's all right.
I'm the bishop, prophet, boss, etc. You do what I say.
Right.
Okay? The leader will imply that God has to speak to them first instead of you about your own life.
Right.
Okay? No leader will be able to justify scripturally why God must tell them first about everything concerning your life. Note that a leader with big responsibility does not have time to sit up and think about your every move and your every decision, okay? I don't have time for it. Please don't call me with your every move.
That's right.
If you was gonna marry Boo Boo the Fool, you should have enough Holy Spirit on the inside of you to know if you're supposed to marry Boo Boo the Fool or not, right?
Right.
You don't need to call Bishop. You don't need to call me with every decision that you're about to make. I'm about to buy a new car. So you need to call the leadership about buying a new car, please.
Right.
We are not Jesus, and we sure don't know what's in your pocket.
That's right.
So, I mean, you have to use some common sense. We're not running a cult here, okay?
Amen.
They are financially abusive and manipulative. People hear voices that unveil what they've been taught theologically. If a leader puts you in a situation where you are paying for stuff in a manipulative way, they are operating under witchcraft.
Okay.
Some of you guys know Bishop Clay, been in ministry for a long time. You've seen that happen to people. If you are forced to support your leaders, there is a strong spirit of witchcraft in operation. You know, I'm not saying that you cannot honor. There's a difference between honor and financial manipulation. The spiritual sons and daughters that are in Freshman International, most of them on their own honor and respect me as their apostolic leader. But it's not required that you have to bless me every time it's my birthday.
All right.
There is some of the sons and daughters send me a large check for my birthday, and some of them also send me a large seed for Christmas. It's not obligated. I'm not standing over them telling them, you have to bless me for my birthday. You have to bless me for Christmas. That would be manipulation. They do it on their own. Number five, leaders are theologically extreme. That means that they only exercise three or four scriptures. They do not use the rest of the Bible. If they tell you, if you don't do this, you're going straight to hell. If you don't do that, you're going straight to hell. How many have heard that? They don't cast out devils. They don't prophesy. They don't flow in miracles, signs, and wonders. But they speak in tongues. We've seen that. They are biblically off. Many churches operate as a cult. They have no skill in the word of God. It's just fly by night mysticism. And I'm going to tell you, I've been to some places where it had various names on the door, And they were on dangerous grounds theologically when it came to the word of God. Number six, you have to ask permission to visit other churches or gatherings. It is fine to give counsel from your leaders. However, if you cannot visit another church without permission, your leader is operating in witchcraft. I tell people that come to me, I'm going to go visit another church. Go right ahead. Go visit. You know, I mean, go visit. Now, if it's a place that I know is theologically unsound and they come to me and tell me, you know, hey, I'm going to a spiritual church, I'm going to fly out and tell you, hey, there's some things over at the spiritual church that's not necessarily what we believe and stuff, and there's new age and different things like that. Just be careful, you know. Does that make sense? But for me to tell you, you can't go, you know, yeah. That's the same spirit that was manifested in Pharaoh. You are discouraged from reading and studying books. How many have been in churches where you were discouraged from reading books or growing? Growing. Number eight, you are deadly afraid of missing church for any reason, any circumstances. A sickness, no meeting, no emergency is acceptable. There are churches where they require their people to be at every single service. Sunday service, Wednesday night service, Friday night service. You're to be at every service that is offered. That is, and if they go to the pastor and tell the pastor, I can't be there, they are shunned. Some of them are put out of leadership positions. Some of them can't even celebrate their children's birthdays. Some of them can't even spend time with their husband or their wives or necessarily go out of town because they have to be at every single service. That is a red flag of occultic, of witchcraft in operation. Well, the leader can go on vacation for a week, but the congregation is forced to be there, and there are things said like, oh, you can make it, you can do that another time. That is signs of witchcraft and controlling. Your relationships are controlled and invaded. You are told who to date, who not to be friends with. I've seen this in churches. Who to talk to, don't talk to that person. Don't talk to that person. You know, stay away from them. And etc. Certain counsel is fine, but to be told who not to talk to and who to be talked to, you know, yeah. You are called rebellious for asking questions. If you question your leader, they call you disrespectful. It is a sign of witchcraft, especially if you ask in a respectful tone. Number 11, you are cursed for leaving or outgrowing a church. Number 12, you are threatened with curses for questioning character or judgment. God never authorized that one could curse another because of character judgment. What kind of leader are you that you cannot be talked about? You know, I've had countless people make all kind of threats against me. Seriously, some of you guys don't know that. I've been threatened because of the authority that I carry and because people just don't like me. That's not everybody. You know, at one point there were people that wanted to kill me, and I'm still here because of the fact of the authority that I carry, because of jealousy and envy and all of that. People did not like me. Okay, there is flirtatious behavior regularly among the leaders and the followers. Let me tell y'all something. We're going to be real today. In places where there's occultic activity, because y'all need to know this, and especially the young adults that are here, and all of us need to know this. When there is flirtatious activity in a church, in a ministry, there is sexual immorality in the camp. If the leader is flirting with the congregants, best you believe it, I'm just going to say it, the pastor and the leaders are going to bed with the members. We might as well be real about it. The pastor and the leader is going to bed with the people in the congregation. Okay? Whenever you have a flirting leader who seeks attention from the followers of the same or opposite sect, that means it ain't just about the women being flirted with, but also the men are being flirted with, okay? Or vice versa, if it's a woman in ministry, the women are being flirted with as well, okay? I know some people may not like this, but we got to get down to the real deal. If we're going to train you for the equipping of the saints, you need to know what's out there.
Amen.
You need to know what you might come up against. Right. How many times have I ministered at a conference or something, and there were flirtatious leaders that I did not discern that were flirtatious, that were in my inbox when the conference was over with? Okay, we got to deal with this because we're going to be sending out teams to different places to minister at different conferences or maybe different churches. And you need to be aware that you may be met up with a spirit like that. That person needs deliverance, okay? That person needs freedom, amen?
Amen.
Number 14, you notice that you're in an extremely secretive culture. Things are always done in private. You're instructed not to tell people what's going on, okay? Even if it's done in the open, it is swept under the rug. If it goes wrong and never addressed. Extremely secretive cultures. That means that there are things that are done, not in the public eye, but it's always every decision is done in secret. That's dangerous.
Amen.
Everybody get what I'm saying?
Amen.
The leader needs to have a confirmation for all personal decisions. Please do not call me with your personal decisions that you're going to make, who you're going to marry, what the next credit card you're going to open. You don't need me for your personal decisions, amen?
Amen?
If the leader tells you that your future is only in their hands and that you will only make it if you're attached to them, that's signs of a cult. To say that God will move your destiny because you moved on is demonic. One thing I'm thankful for is when I did make an exit from an organization back in November of 2020, I did not hear from them until February of 2020. They did not, I have to say, they did not say that you're cursed because you left, or you're not going to make it. The leader never said that to me. The leader never said you're cursed or you are not blessed. Only thing they said is you are not my spiritual son anymore. And so I have to treat you differently, basically. So basically they gave a curse anyway. You know, so yeah. The leader rebuke is utilized and emphasized more than affirmation. I believe in affirming people. Every last person that I come in contact with in a ministry situation, I pray that they see the times that I affirm them, that I stand with them. Does that make sense? There are times when rebuke is necessary. When you find a culture or a leader who uses rebuke more than affirmation, there's a spirit of witchcraft attached. What makes rebuke effective is affirmation and vice versa. Remember that give more affirmation than rebuke. There is times that things are out of order and they have to be dealt with, you know, and so you have to deal with them. Number 18, there is organization elitism. The people feel like we are the only ones and everybody is doing things wrong except us. That is a spirit of elitism. That is a spirit of a sign of witchcraft and cultic activity. Does that make sense? There was a church here in Kansas City that was recently on the news earlier this year. And the reason that they were on the news is because of the fact that there was like some things going on in their house that were cult-like. And people, and I know some of the leaders of this particular house very well. And I know their hearts. They're people that love the presence of God. But there were underlining things that made people not want to come back to their church. And one of the things was there was a real elite spirit. We are the ones that are carrying the presence of God. We are the ones that have experienced, they experienced a genuine move of the spirit, a genuine revival that was documented in history. And because they wanted to keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and try to reproduce what they had before, an elite spirit got in. And next thing you know, they start feeling like, we're the ones. If you go to another church that's not experiencing what we're experiencing, then you're not connected to what we're doing. You know, so that's not cool. 19, there is no authentic, provable accountability structure. Leaders who have so many people under you and no one knows who you're under yourself. Like I said, I do not believe in just being an island to yourself. I believe that if you are non-denominational, you should find a tribe that you can run with where you can have some accountability. I am totally against churches that just want to be out there and have no sense of accountability or covering whatsoever. I'm against it. I'm just going to say it. I'm against it. How do we know that you are accountable to someone else? Those that you're accountable are going to be able to speak into the lives of you, but also into the house. Your leader has a lying and deceptive spirit. Why attempt to deceive? We're talking about witchcraft in the house. Leaders turn members against each other. You're a puppet for your shepherd. 22, leaders forbid contact with former members. How many have ever heard that? You cannot talk to anybody that left this particular ministry or this particular church. They left here. They're no longer a part of us. You are to not have any contact with. That's not the way of God.
That's right.
Leaders will go to bat over controlling attire and appearance. There are such things as modesty in the Bible, but be cautious about what you wear. But your leader's number one focus cannot be your attire and opinion. Jesus isn't concerned about your attire. He's concerned about your heart. I remember we had a leader here, and I'm going to say it. We had a leader that was here that is no longer here, and I'm glad they're no longer here, because all they did was just gripe about the young people. And I'm young myself. I'm not old. I'm 36 years old and I ain't old. Gripe about us wearing jeans and wearing shorts and us wearing shorts in the pulpit and wearing jeans in the pulpit and coming in with earrings in our ears. I don't care if you got an earring stuck up your nose. I don't care if you got piercings. I don't care if you got tattoos. I am not here to tell anybody about their appearance. All I'm asking you to do is just be modest with it. Okay, so I told this individual, I said, you are not going to come into this particular church and tell us what we're going to wear around here. No, my brother and I'm talking about my brother because he's sitting in the back. My brother and I are not going to sit up in here with white and stuff all the way up to our neck like this, singing Jesus is the light of the world. Ain't gonna happen. We come from a different era. Amen. You know, we come from a different makeup. And then we not going to sit up here and be turning to the east with white and blue on every single Sunday. That's bondage. God created us to be free.
Amen.
Number 24, leaders have strong influence on over how your home is ran. I don't need no leader telling me how to run my house. Okay? You don't need no leader telling you how to run your house. Your pastor, your apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist has no business determining what goes on in your house.
Amen.
Teaching should take place about relationships, home, and family. But your leadership in your house is the head of your house. That means women, your husband is the head and supposed to be leading you in the fear and admiration of God. Amen. And leaders must warn, advise, and counsel. So if you come to leadership for counsel, we're supposed to give you counsel. Amen. But your house is your house. School leading education is moved by the leader. They tell you it doesn't matter how much education you get if you. They fear that the more education causes you to be liberated. I'm going to encourage everybody in here. Get the education that you need. So that you can be effective in this world and in the church world as well. And in any sphere of society that God puts you in. Amen. So get your schooling. Go to college and get your AA. Go to tech school and get what you need. Get your CNA. Get whatever you need so that you can be successful in society. Amen?
Amen.
They use, now listen to this, they use candles, rituals, incense, and dead ceremonies that are justified or specified in Scripture. There are some churches where they have an altar with candles up on them. And they got this candle for this and this candle for that. This candle for this. This candle for... Y'all know what I'm talking about? They be in there burning incense in the church to ward off this and ward off that and ward off this. They're using dead ceremonies. They in there using holy water. They're in there sprinkling and bibbly bobbly boo in the church, and people in the church thinking they feeling the spirit, but they feeling a spirit, and it's not the spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
That is a cult atmosphere. All things should be scripturally supported and not just with one scripture alone.
Amen.
There has to be two or three scriptures to justify a doctrine, not just one. Does that make sense? And you're taught that in Bible school. I don't know where we get some of these illiterate leaders that don't want to know no better, that want to use one scripture and turn a whole doctrine out of it. And yeah, you are taught to sew up, but you never see them sew down. Your leaders should teach honor, but they should also release honor. Your personal life is invaded, spying on you via on social media, excessive house visits. I'm going to let you know, not too many people come to my house, period. I don't allow a whole lot of people to come to my house. And the reason why, I don't want people invading my personal space, okay? So if I invite you to my house, you should be honored to be invited to my house. And most of the people that I invite to my house are family. I do not like my private space, my personal space invaded. And I tell people, if you come to my house, don't think that you're going to be coming to my house all the time. Because you're not. Because I'm not going to, you know, I have boundaries. And I ask that you respect my boundaries. Also, spying on social media. The leaders are spying on your Facebook. They're spying on your TikTok account. They're spying on everything that you do. That's signs of a cult. And they preach on what you posted on your social media page. That you, well, brother so-and-so was at the club last night, at the jazz club last night. So what? That's their business. My business is to teach you the word of God and to love on you. They have support a very low academic environment. There's no training, there's no curriculum, and there isn't much given because there isn't much in the leader to give. You can't give what you don't have.
Amen.
We're almost done with I'm down to the last page. You will find that mystical, theoretical, and people's experiences are emphasized over the Word of God. Most aren't good preachers of the Word of God, and they aren't great with Scripture. So these leaders know how, they're not good with the Word of God, but they're good with mystical experience. You know, they know how to get you hyped up. But you're not hyped up in the Word of God to grow in God. If you cannot feel it, then it's probably not right. They go by feelings and emotionalism. That's why I'm not moved by it. When you are truly a teacher in the kingdom of God and you truly want to see the saints equipped for the work of the ministry, it's going to be settings like this where you're sitting down with paper and being taught. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Anytime I find that people don't want to be trained and taught, that means they're walking in, not a teachable spirit, but they want to walk in their own ways.
All right.
And your own ways will get you caught up all the time. I'm going to let you know, as a house, we about to start having more teaching around here.
All right, praise God.
We are.
Amen.
We are. We are, because we can't move by all this hooping and hollering all the time. I'm gonna tell you, it's not doing nothing. It don't help me when I go out on the streets on Monday morning to be hollered at. I wanna be taught the word of God. It's because I know teaching is what's going to keep us in the days to come. Yeah, we need preaching so to help us to reach others, but I think we done such an emphasis on hooping and hollering all the time that we got so used to it that we just thrown out the teaching and the teacher. And we relegate them just to Sunday school and Bible study.
Okay.
But we gonna start doing some teaching around here on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And if I have to start doing it, I'm gonna start doing it. There are regular instincts of public humiliation. While God may cause one to be embarrassed, constant humiliation and embarrassment is humiliation and controlling. Feast, festivals, washing, foot washing, and holy days are emphasized over the cross and over Christ. Never overemphasize the event while not emphasizing Christ. So overemphasizing. There's churches that overemphasize communion. There are churches that overemphasize the feast. They overemphasize festivals. They overemphasize foot washing. They've turned that into a god. You are ordained, licensed, and authorized suddenly, randomly, or without training. You know what? I have to personally say that I recently did that to the church. I recently licensed someone that I should have took a little bit more time with training and helping them, and I licensed them a little bit too early, okay? I won't be doing that anymore, not so randomly. I'm gonna be setting up some avenues where there's going to be some training that's going to occur, okay? You notice poverty, lack, and financial distress all over the congregation. People without money are more easily controlled. You see constant disease. Didn't I talk about that? Sickness, dying and disaster within the congregation. You're forced into tithing and offering, publicly posting names of tithers up on a wall. That ain't of God. Yes, you can give, and you should never feel forced to give or prevent, or never feel forced to give to prevent embarrassment or humiliation. Their strongest attacks seem to be against women. You can find out a lot about the spiritual condition about an organization by how they treat the women. A denomination or organization that still mistreats women are going down a road of destruction and will fail. They'll be held accountable for their oppression over women. There is an absence of provable discipleship. No way in the church organization to take one from one level to the next. We got to have discipleship. That's one of the signs of a healthy church, is discipleship. Disciples making other disciples. When you don't find that, there is dangerous grounds in the camp. Does that make sense? Generally, the organization of the church will not grow. They rarely have a strong growth rate. Hardly are any new people connected. And many are being but not growing. Leaders will use their position and role to bait people to stay. You know, I don't bait people to stay. You want to leave?